Hello and welcome back to today's episode. It's episode 204. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about brainwashing. First of all, I want to say a big thank you for the previous episode. They did pretty well. And it's good to see how many people are watching and listening. So thank you for that. In this episode, I think it's important to talk about brainwashing because most people don't think for themselves. Most people don't even know that how they think was actually encouraged by other people, probably by many who they don't like, or by people they do like, but it doesn't serve them well. And we're going to go through that today in this episode. And there's five main points that I want to focus on. And all of these 5 points focus on the senses. And the reason why that's important is because all of the 5 senses take in information. Yet it's your brain which infers it and determines what it means and whether it's good for you or not. And the brain is very easily seduced to almost stopping you from doing something because of a particular belief. And we'll go through that in this episode. And I think brainwashing has definitely affected a lot of young people more because of social media and technology. And I know that's probably what everyone has heard about. You're probably sick of hearing it now, but people don't really understand the effects of social media and what it can do. Me personally, I've spent time scrolling and, you know, going through posts and whatnot, but I've realized now that it's pretty useless, really. There's not really much stuff. Most of the stuff is just algorithms. It's the same type of video content you've seen hundreds of thousands of times, and its actual purpose is just to waste your time. There's nothing, you know, you watching other people's posts or watching random YouTube videos, does it benefit your life? Does it help you grow? Does it help you get ahead? For most people, I'm sure the answer is no. And therefore, because of that, you have to be very careful of how you use it. Now, me personally, I think the only real purpose to use social media and technology is for business or for doing good for your community that you're helping, right? If you're not doing that, you're wasting your time and you're wasting other people's time, right? So the first one I would say is you need social media to make friends or to build relationships, because that's really what social media is. It is also and is growing more into an entertainment resource, but I think people get it wrong about social media, right? People always look to blame social media, right? They say social media makes me addicted, social media gets me watching all this content, social media entices me to be addicted to other sites that I shouldn't be on, makes me watch pointless videos. But no one's forcing you to go on social media. No one's forcing you to go on YouTube, right? So the problem is never the device or technology or social media. The problem is within you. The problem is actually you have certain psychological patterns, certain addictions that you haven't overcome, or troubling thoughts that you haven't got over, which will most likely keep repeating themselves if you don't overcome that thing. There's a really good video of Tom Cruise, and he's being interviewed on the rise of ADHD in Generation Z, especially in young boys. And he has a big belief that the real problem is the solution they're given to ADHD. He was saying that the pharmaceutical resources they're implementing to young boys temporarily blocks the problem. But what it actually is a deep connection of unconscious psychological patterns, which have slowly become so entrenched in young boys' mind that it elicits these emotions of, you know, fear, anger, anxiety, depression. And if you were to look and analyze a person with ADHD or autism, which the biggest backlash of people with ADHD and autism is never their intellect. Their intellect is, and their overconfidence is actually their best assets. Their worst assets are things such as lack of focus, poor accuracy, struggle with memory in the right areas. It could also be a sort of outburst of emotions and not realizing the repercussions, poor impulse control, difficulties in social scenarios, understanding certain social aspects, right? And also very repressed deep emotions, such as it may not come up consciously, so they can control themselves well consciously, but they may have unconscious barriers, such as deep anxiety. And that sort of overconfidence is the defensive mechanism against those unconscious barriers, right? So it's a mask to the problem. What they really need to do, the better solution, is to, and it's very hard because the deeper you bury it, the harder it is to look in, because you have so many false fantasies blocking it. You need to really understand what particular moments caused you to become this way and think this way, because it's a neurodivergent issue, which means you can change, you just need to change your thinking. So you need to, what a psychologist really needs to do is stop prescribing them to these drugs and say, okay, were there any moments that were difficult in childhood? Right? Did you go through grief? Did you have bad relationships? Did you have any accolades that were taken off you? Right? Is there any significant moments of your life which are daunting for you to go across? A good example is after World War II, understandably, a lot of men suffer with PTSD. And many men came back and they weren't able to go into work because they were mentally just destroyed, and they became homeless. And there was an epidemic of that in America. And there was also circumstances where men would come back and the woman was almost the man of the family, because they were so just traumatized by these events, which they never were able to properly fathom, that it completely destroyed their mentality and they were never the same again. You have to think about these men and how hard and daunting it was for many of them to teach their children good philosophies, right? It's no wonder why so many men are struggling today, because they're not being brought and taught up properly, right? So this sort of tells you that the real problem is to dig down into their thoughts, and the person has to be brave in order to go to those thoughts. And then you go through a cycle of being aware, going back and finding any specific moments which triggered the deep emotions, deep repressed emotions of anxiety, depression, and whatnot. And then you have to look at, okay, what was the perception that you had? Because it's always the perception which grows this emotion, which springs this emotion in the first place, right? That's always the worst part about it. So the point back to social media technology is that really, that all these people, because there's growing addictions, like the average person who goes on social media technology is 2 or 3 hours a day. And the average person still to this day who goes on TV is 6 hours a day. Like, people complain, they say they never have time, right? The average person works 40 hours a week. There's 168 hours in a week. If you take into account traffic, cleaning, cooking food as well, okay, you may have other commitments. You probably got 60 hours spare, 60 to 70 hours spare. And if you're, you know, a young person, I don't have many committed relationships, it's even less, right? So again, the problem is never the resources. If you blame the resources, again, you just make it harder yourself. And humans do this all the time. It's a big part of human nature. So again, the problem isn't social media can elicit these feelings. But again, it's your priorities, it's your beliefs. Okay, the second part is music. I think this is very, very important. A lot of young people, especially in my generation, The music they listen to is a lot different to previous generations, right? Even to millennials, even to the generation before them and the baby boomers, right? Because if you look at the development of music, I think when NWA came across, that's really when concepts of sex, drugs, and money became more popularized, right? Before that, it was about love, it was about life, it was about happiness. It was a blossom of random songs. Now, a kid can't go on YouTube and his favorite rapper isn't talking about drugs, money, sex, basically everything hypersexualized. And that undoubtedly has a very traumatizing effect on the child's brain. And there's a famous psychologist called Jean Piaget, who was quite famous in the early 1900s, I believe. I don't know too much about him. But his main studies is on the development of the child brain. And children's neurology is so vulnerable that what you have to be so careful what you expose them to, right? Because I believe there's studies that the brain doesn't properly fully develop until you're 25 years old, right? So let's say, for example, you're 22, 23. Your brain is so pliable and so able to expand and grow that you could be 23 or even 24 and have one amazing year where you study vigorously, read lots of books, and reprogram your mind, that you could have like 24 years of just awful upbringing and completely change your life. That's how amazingly tangible the brain is. The problem is, the hard things is that doing these things, changing your brain, is very unpleasing to other things. We all know that having an unhealthy snacks, listening to just hype music which sounds good, and scrolling on social media, doom scrolling and whatnot, all these different things aren't good for your brain. I think everyone actually knows that. Therefore, the hardest part is controlling your impulses, controlling your being effective at the implementation. Most people know what to do, but they're not very good at implementing that. And it's always the desires they have. It's always the impulses. And what I mean by desires is people build these unrealistic fantasies from many different methods of brainwashing, which gravitates their interest so much that the impulse of that, without thinking of the long-term repercussions. Right, you think about an obese person. I'm sure every obese person knows exactly what they need to do to get in good shape. They know they need to eat less, they need to eat healthier foods, and they need to move and exercise more. Yet they keep doing the same thing. They keep eating bad foods. They keep laying on the couch and watching TV all the time. Right? They do all the things they know they shouldn't, right? And again, it can be other things, it can be the path they went through, but there's many different reasons for it. But one thing that I do, for example, with music is, well, a lot of things, not just music, but I typically wear earbuds. So in my work in security, if I'm working at a nightclub, for example, I know 100% there's going to be music that's not good for my brain. So I will always wear earbuds when I go out. The main reason that's loud, but I know what it is to my brain. Not also that, you go outside and you hear what other people are talking about, you hear other songs and whatnot. And just think about your children, right? Think about your own children going out and there's people blasting out awful music that are sexual. I mean, most people who have kids, right, aren't even fully aware of this and doesn't even cross their mind. Their brains are just completely desensitized. I think I mentioned before that many parents are very desensitized to what their children are exposed to on social media. And if they were aware of what they were exposed to, they would completely get rid of social media altogether. So, because what happens is, you may like the idea of listening to these rappers and listen to like all music of sex and drugs, And your mind is very easy to ignore the worries because the mind focuses on really on how it makes it feels. Right? The mind really cares about if it feels good, I listen to it. But of course, what feels good doesn't mean it's good. Right? Everyone loves, I'm sure most people love unhealthy chocolates and burgers and fries, but we know if we eat too much of it, we're going to be unhealthy. We're going to get ill. We're going to put on weight. Right? So it doesn't matter how it feels. The matter is, okay, do these actually, is there a scientific basis to these health, to these health benefits? Will it actually improve my health or decrease it? That's what you need to look out for. The second part is music. Okay. The third part of brainwashing is the idea that all these businesses you see are scams. First off, yes, there will always be some people who are scammers. But most of the time, there's certain things you look out for. Okay, are they willing to show their faces? All right, we live in a world of social media now. It's very easy to lie. It's very easy to seem like something you're not. But if people aren't willing to show their faces or do calls with you or do video calls for that matter, then that's a pretty big implementation or pretty big indication right there that they're probably a fake. If they're not willing to show genuine results, and what I mean by genuine results is it's not just screenshots, right? They actually send you testimonials. They send you videos of other people liking their stuff. They show you their own portfolio. They show you their business report. For example, one of the things I've discussed before on this podcast, and any world-class investor knows, and Warren Buffett said before as well, you know, that they will not even consider investing in a company unless they've seen all annual reports, unless they see all of the data. Do you really think Warren Buffett's going to risk investing into big companies like Apple and Coke where they're only going to offer big money if he's not willing to see all their data, all the results, and all of their annual reports? Right? He would need to see proof that that company can has done well over the years and will continue to do well. Right? Surely you would think the same of the business, right? So again, I think that you have to be willing to trust people. You have to be willing to take risks, especially when you're young. Right, the best times to make the most effective risks is when you're young, because you don't have a wife, you don't have kids, right? You can be a bit riskier when you're young, right? So, because and you have to as well, because you have to be willing to make stupid mistakes, which is sometimes what you think is a good idea, a good risk. You have to experience to know if it's a bad idea. That's the only real way. So you have to be willing to sort of look stupid and take that risk. But it's an even more stupid idea to wait until you're 30 or in your 40s, then to take the risks. Because if you have a family, if you have more, your bills are probably going to increase as you get older, right? You have to be, and you know, prices of things go up every single year, especially if you live in the West, right? Well, prices of things go up in every single country. But the point is that you will have more responsibilities. Right, so you can be riskier when you're younger, where you have less accountability on you, right? And by doing that, there might be a possibility that you will be wealthy. There is a shortcut to business, which is getting a mentor, getting someone to teach you something, which is a good idea. But I think the overall thing is to not assume that everything is a scam and to look into the data. You could philosophize the whole of this actual idea by to think like a scientist, right? A scientist will not say something as certain unless they've tested it. That's why science is so convincing and has grown so rapidly from the 20th century and beyond. Because his whole philosophy is by having a hypothesis, testing it, and by that test, you can see if it's true or not. If it's not true, all you do is keep testing new ideas until that idea becomes in relation to your hypothesis, then you'll know that it's true. Right, so that particular scientist's mindset is pretty much effective across all domains. So that's the third thing. Don't think everything is a scam. Think like a scientist. Okay, the fourth way that you're brainwashed is, it's probably an interesting one, but there are many things which develop hypersensation. Do you want to know why? This is probably one of the most important brainwash knowledge tips for you to know. So make sure you listen for this one. Do you want to know why things such as ADHD and autism and all mental health has grown so rapidly? It's because people, and especially young people, are more hypersensitized than ever. Right, more young people are exposed to consoles, to social media, technology, phone devices, so that they're constantly dopamine affected, and all their senses are affected, right? So, I mean, probably a good example is lights. There's lights everywhere. And yes, we do need lights to see, but you don't actually need that much light, especially not in daytime, for example. But even in nighttime, right, you have to be very careful. Like, if you're watching TV and you have your lights on, it's even worse because your eyes are actually designed to focus on certain things of most importance. So if I was to, like, I'm in my room now, if it was 10 p.m. and I turned all my lights off, the effect that has on your eyes are so, so daunting. And there's been massive increased rates of people going to optimal care as well, right? Because, you know, people are getting something called dry eyes and baggy eyes. They're just so addicted to their screens and technology. They can't do anything else. Now, one of the main cause the biggest symptom of ADHD is boredom, right? You're bored, so you want to do something that doesn't make you bored. So you go to very dopamine effective activities such as gaming, social media, technology, YouTube, and you spend hours and hours and hours there to avoid the uncomfortable feeling of being bored. But you actually want to do the opposite. You want to do something such as reading a book or listen to an audiobook. Even with the audiobooks, right, you think about, you play too much audiobooks, you play too much hearing, that can actually affect your hearing too. All right, probably a great example, referring back to the second point of music. Think about blasting headphones in ears. I've heard people, and they turn their volume on their headphones so loud, I'm surprised they haven't been deaf yet. I'm most certain there will be increased rates of deaf people or half deaf people in the future. Right? Because, again, when we're young, we have very big egos. We think we can take on the whole world. We think that we'll live forever. But your body's actually very fragile. And unless your body has been through vigorous pain, which is why I think things such as fighting is so good for you, right? Fighting is really good for you because you're teaching your body to go through pain so that all life that could potentially threaten you and endanger you isn't that bad to you. When you look at fighters, they have, you know, bulgy knuckles, they have bigger arms, they have bigger skulls from the amount of pounding and pressure to their head. To other people, that seems like awful. Like, I'd hate to be that guy. I'd hate to be what he'd gone through. But that's actually a very good blessing for him because his body has gotten stronger. And I'm sure his mind has gotten stronger as well. And his senses have gotten stronger. So being very considerate of your senses. Now, sometimes there are circumstances where your senses will be effective and there's nothing you're able to do about it. Maybe you have a certain physical disability, right? That is a very hard thing to do. But even then, there's something you can do. Right? Say, for example, you have a problem with your back, right? Well, you have to do things which don't put too much pressure on your back. You can do yogas, you can do stretches, you can do Pilates, you can speak to a physiotherapist. The problem is there's many things that do the opposite. Right? Sitting down is comfortable. Right, if you're watching a film, if you're playing a game, you're more likely going to be sitting down. If you go in transport, you're sitting down. If you're in an office job, you're sitting down for hours. There's so many things which can affect all senses of the body. And whether you like it or not, these things over time, unless they're not cared for, will dramatically affect you when you're in your 40s and 50s. Right, not even your 60s. Right, this is the real reason why people are having these health problems and mental health problems. Because people in the 1560s would have loved to have the resource that we have. I'm sure they would. The massive advantage because of the way they brought up is completely different. But that's actually the problem. Because they don't value technology and social media and these hedonistic devices like my generation and millennials do, they don't care about it. They have other priorities which benefit their beliefs, right? So they value things such as being more interested in people and reality and being more active. All these things are, of course, good for your body and mind. So again, across all brainwashing, right, the problem is never the institutions, the groups, or the devices. The problem is always in your thinking. So again, I want to say that, yes, there are other things that can affect you, but be careful, change your activities, change your habits, and then you won't even need to worry about brainwashing. Okay, the fifth point, and this is another important point, the idea that you need to have lots of friends or you need to be well popular to a lot of people. Now, growing up throughout school, you probably recognize that the people who were most liked, well, even that term is quite stupid in itself, but the people who are most liked were the most popular or maybe the most attractive or whatnot. That's a really silly idea if you think about it, because think about it in the long term. What you really care about is how those people make you feel. And I'm sure if you're a good person, how you make other people feel, right? So you have these people who, because they're popular, because maybe they're charismatic, and because they're attractive, they're liked by a lot of people. So what that does is that builds a belief that in order to be liked and loved and cared for, you have to be attractive, you have to be popular, you have to be liked by so many people. But the true reality is that everyone's unique. Everyone's different, right? We all have our own interests. So individualism over collectivism, which is the whole idea of having groups, favoring groups and popularity and people instead of people's own minds, is that you're following a path that you don't even like yourself, right? And this is what I love about not just personal development, but individual thinking. You actually realize, because I thought the same when I was younger as well. I thought it was cool to be like the popular kids or to be the best sort of group in the school. But actually, as you get older, you realize it's discovering what your interests are and what you like and finding people who fit similar to that. I think I've got my mentor. He told me that if you have, I think his father told me this as well, but he said, I think if you have one best friend, you're the luckiest person in the world. If you have two, you're one of the luckiest. If you have three, you're lucky. And if you have four, you're not lucky. Which is an interesting idea. And, you know, whether you think it's true, it's up to you. But I think as you get older, like, you realize that the more friends you have, the more likely they're actually lying to you. And you have to be honest with yourself. Do you like fake attention? Do you like lies? Or do you like people who really, really think the same as you and are willing to be honest with you and have similar interests to you? Because if you don't, then unfortunately, whether you like it or not, again, it's coming to the idea of fantasies and desires. You're fooling yourself with your own fantasy just to feel good rather than actually aligning something which goes with a belief which deep down you know is actually true. So the brainwashing tip for this is to avoid collectivism, to think about individualism, and to only associate yourself with like-minded people who think the same, who want to grow like you, who have similar habits and similar interests. I'm sure you do that anyway, but just want to give that as a final point. Okay, so those are the 5 points. Write them down. Make sure you memorize them. Go back and previous episode, just get a better idea. But make sure you follow this podcast. Press the notification bell so you don't miss a single episode. And I'll see you in the next one and make you aware of what's going to happen. Okay, bye for now.